Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Blues back at full strength. What does Vladdy's return mean for fantasy? The goalie master chimes in with his under-the-radar late-season strategy. Plus, players to target for the Thursday slate. Ring the register. It's NHL Fantasy on Ice.
How about some fantasy talk here on this Wednesday afternoon? Pete and Rob here with you talking pucks. Rob, what's going on, man?
What's up, Pete? Good to be with you. And we're also joined by our friend and coworker, goalie master, otherwise known as his real name, Dave Satriano.
I like the goalie master better, but we got a lot to talk about, a lot of goalie situations, championship semifinals here. We got a lot we got to get through.
One thing before we dive into that, I just have to say, I looked at your fantasy roster this morning. Let me read to the listeners who the self-proclaimed goalie master's goalies actually are in his playoff team. Pete, you want to brace for impact on this one. His starter, Semyon Varlamov of the Colorado Avalanche, who's no longer the starter there.
Yikes.
On IR, Antti Raanta of the Arizona Coyotes hasn't played a game since November, is it? December, maybe?
I saw he was on the ice, though. I think
okay,
it was
hey,
yesterday
that's,
or
that's
today.
A,
that's a
scoop.
Start,
there's
but
a
he's been
there.
On
Dave,
IR
Dave,
for like 3 months.
Up. And he also does have Thomas Greiss, which is an insider play. But that being said, you didn't draft Thomas Greiss.
I didn't draft Thomas Greiss. However, did you didn't want to fail to mention my numbers last week? 180 goals against, 943 save percentage. I still lost both those categories, but it shows you how good those two
was
guys were.
Was that one game played?
It was four,
okay.
But you're right. I'm gonna need to do something if I wanna make a move this week and advance to the championship because I can't win with those guys.
First word of advice: dump Varlamov and pick up Philip Grubauer. I don't think there's a hotter goalie in the whole landscape right now. Grubauer has 3 shutouts, I think, over his past 7 or 8 games. I mean, and the Avalanche just knocked off the Wild. So what do you make of this team? You think they're dead yet, or does he have a way to resurrect them?
You're right. He's 3 shutouts in 6 games. My opponent actually has him, so I'm kind of in some trouble there.
Oh,
but
so.
The Avalanche, like you said, they need every point they can get to make the playoffs. And right now, who gives them the best chance to do that? It's Philip Grubauer. So he's the guy.
It's Philip Grubauer, but it's also the Minnesota Wild, who look like they're hanging on by a thread in the Western Conference. They are 1 point out, but it looks like that ship has sailed on that team. Matt Dumba's been out, totally wrecked their season. I think it's shot in Minnesota. So Devan Dubnyk owners, you might want to consider putting him on the shelf and picking up maybe a Malcolm Subban or another goalie in the NHL that's hot right now.
And Dubnyk played well in that game. I think he had 35 saves on 37 shots. He's been keeping them in these games. This team keeps dropping home games. They did sell at the deadline, so maybe we shouldn't be too surprised at what the recent results have been for Minnesota. But yeah, Arizona doesn't look too convincing right now, so we'll see how the cookie crumbles here in the next 3 weeks.
Silver lining for Arizona, I'm looking at the easiest schedules left in the NHL. Arizona, 9 games left, 4 at home, 5 on the road. Opponent winning percentage, .528. That ranks 5th easiest in the league. Does that make you like Darcy Kuemper a little bit more there?
Yeah, if I'm in DFS, he's a good play going forward. Like you said, not only the schedule, but just the team's playing well. He's playing well. He's probably one of the top 5 goalies in the last 2-3 weeks that I would want, especially in DFS.
And it's a really interesting range. Right before the show today, we did the top 25 goalie rankings, and Greiss is in that range, Kemper's in that range, a couple of struggling guys ahead of them, like Braden Holtby, Martin Jones, mm-hmm. Sergei Bobrovsky. Of course, you trust teams like the Sharks and the Capitals, especially the Sharks, have a very easy schedule coming up the rest of the way.
The Sharks do have an easy schedule, but I'm wondering what they're going to do with Jones because his save percentage, .898 over the season, that's just horrible. Horrible.
Brutal.
Considering he's a 40-win goalie, it really makes no sense. So I look at that team. Pete DeBoer, their head coach, said, look, we're going to start Jones until we have nothing left to play for. Well, they're going to have a lot to play for because they're neck and neck with Calgary for first in the division. That's what they need to do. They need to get that first spot locked up or they're going to get smoked in the first round by Vegas.
Again, by the
Again.
Way.
And two guys that are behind all the guys we just mentioned on the goalie rankings that I really like for the rest of the way, Peter Mrazek and John Gibson. I mean, Peter Mrazek, I don't think there's a hotter goalie over the past 10, 15 games of the season. Maybe Grubauer over that recent stretch, but Peter Mrazek wins almost every time he plays now. They come from behind against the Penguins at home and a couple of home games coming up again for Carolina.
The only goalie hotter than Mrazek statistically would be Ben Bishop, who could honestly be the top-ranked goalie in our rankings if Andrei Vasilevskiy loses to the Caps on Wednesday. We'll wait to see on that one. But you're right, Pete. Mrazek looks dynamite. That shootout win over the Pittsburgh Penguins was electric. And then they're all playing duck hunt at the end of the game, celebrating. Those guys must be loving life right now in Carolina.
I remember saying it before the start of the season. If Carolina was going to finally make the playoffs and end whatever their 9-10 year playoff drought, they were going to have to win those interdivision games at Pittsburgh, at the Garden, against the Islanders. I mean, that was a vintage one for the Hurricanes, who don't really have many memories to draw from. But you see that playoff crowd, it's rocking. That's going to be an exciting team to watch come April.
Yeah, you know, you guys, you kind of mentioned it before with Mrazek, but they're Carolina's one of, I think, 7 or 8 teams that have back-to-back Saturday, Sunday, and they get Minnesota and Montreal at home. Two very winnable games, and he could very well start both of them. So that's definitely something to look
okay,
to.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate here, boys. On that same schedule, in the next 5 games, they also have the Big Bad Lightning, and they also have the Washington Capitals, a home-and-home set, so 2 games against 3 games against pretty high-quality opponents.
Yeah, if you're in a Yahoo standard or a standard weekly league, you might not want to start him because those are 3. We saw what happened with Frederik Andersen last week. I mean, a lot of people, including Rob, unfortunately, started him, and 4 goals, 6 goals a game, you know, against tough opponents. Some games he shouldn't have even been playing, I don't think. They should have had Sparks in or whatnot, but you can't have that happen again, so you got to be careful, as you said, with Mrazek this week if you're going to start him. You don't want him to start him in all 3 of those games. That's just asking for trouble.
That's why I give the upper hand to John Gibson here, boys. Look at this schedule. Winnipeg, San Jose, at Los Angeles Kings, and at the Vancouver Canucks. I see 2 easy games on that schedule, and I also see 2 trap games for them, too. I think Anaheim right now, flying under the radar out west, teams like Winnipeg, teams like San Jose that have less to play for, they might be sleeping when they're out in Anaheim.
It's unreal. I was looking at Gibson. He's got a .917 save percentage on that absolute mess of a roster, and their season went off the rails. It's still .917, and he's played really well, right? In his past 4 or 5 starts, he's been lights out.
Talent alone, Dave, he might be the top most talented skill-wise goaltender in the league. I think Carey Price for me would be a close second, but people just sleep on John Gibson because, first off, no one on the East Coast is staying up to watch the Ducks, and second off, the Ducks aren't good this season, right? So he's had to play in front of a shaky defense. They got rid of Brandon Montour. But this, and in the forward group too, Corey Perry, old and slow. Ryan Getzlaf, not the player he used to be. This goaltender, what he's done this season is nothing short of amazing.
You know, it's funny because when you say that, the Ducks have scored, they've finally been scoring in games. And when they score, what happens? Gibson gets wins. And then everyone says, oh, you know, his numbers, you realize it then. His numbers are great, but if they score 3 goals, he's going to win most of those games. So that's what they've needed and haven't had. So if they can keep up what they've been doing, like you said, they're going to be playing a lot of teams that are fighting for playoff points. They got pride. They want to stop that. So I think Gibson is a good option here.
And one thing I noticed, so ever since they gave, for some reason, remember they cleared out a bunch of third, fourth liner guys in the before the trade deadline. Then they extended Jacob Silverberg for whatever reason. They've been playing much more competitively since then. I think he has goals in 4 of his past 5. His stretch of productivity is extending to 10, 12 games right now. And he's playing top 6 and also first power play, both situations with Ricard Raquel. So that's another guy to watch out for on the waiver wire right now.
I truly believe that resurgence and a lot of the guys playing better is because they're GMs behind the bench. I don't think there's any coincidence that they were taken off in the first couple months of the season. Randy Carlyle was not disciplining them enough. Now the GM's back there, no-nonsense locker room, and they're winning games. But before we get into anything else, I do want to give you guys just thoughts on this. Best sneaky goalie that can bring home the title. Dave mentioned it. I lost my fantasy semis because I had Freddie Anderson. I leaned on them. I got scared to start Corey Crawford in the Chicago tandem because I didn't believe in that. I thought Toronto got me to where I needed to be, but it's because I failed to make a move that I got burned in the semis. So I'm looking at guys like Montembeau, Subban, Hutton. Who do you guys like?
I like Subban. I think that this Fleury injury situation is up in the air for as long as Fleury is out. You got to roll the dice with him. Absolutely, Subban, because Vegas is scoring at will right now, no matter who they play. Mark Stone is on, I think, a 7-game point streak. These guys can't, they're not letting up. So it doesn't matter who's in the crease. That's the safest option. And then a note on the Vancouver tandem. They are opening a 7-game homestand here on Wednesday. We're recording this episode prior to Wednesday. But these are a lot of favorable matchups coming up for Vancouver.
Yeah, you know, another guy I think who no one owns anymore is just giving up on is Carter Hutton. His schedule is very good. They have five games next week, which if you have five games in a week for any team, forwards, defensemen, goalie, whoever it is, you want to get those players. The Sabres have eight games the next 2 weeks, two against Detroit, two against Ottawa, one against New Jersey. If Ullmark is in a game or two, or if Hutton is in, that's four games they're going to win. So he's a guy that I would want. If you need wins, stream a guy, that's the guy I want.
So I've got Ben Bishop and Freddie Anderson in another league that I'm in the semis in. Are you telling me that I should get Carter Hutton and play him over Anderson? You're willing to wager on this right now?
I would wager on this right now and say yes, because we all know the guys who get you that can get you there, but if you want to win, sometimes you got to make the tough decisions. Is Ben Bishop going to have three more shutouts the rest of the season? Probably not. Can Carter Hutton shut out Detroit, Ottawa, New Jersey? Probably. So that's just my thinking.
Are we wagering this in DFS too? Are we looking at Carter Hutton as a low-owned sleeper goalie that's going to line your pockets?
You know, I would look at the matchups and the prices on the specific days, but more often than not, yes, I would tend to go with a guy like Bishop because of his, you know, the value and everything. But Hutton is a guy in DFS who these final 2 weeks you should look at.
Are we watching the same team here? Buffalo, I read today, has not won consecutive games since December.
Are you serious?
I'm not picking up Carter Hutton. That's not on my agenda anytime soon.
The only thing, I do think I am a contrarian strategy guy, so I do like, Dave, where you're coming from this angle. The only thing, is Linus Ullmark a concern? Is he going to get three of those games and then make Carter Hutton kind of useless and just get two?
You know, it's kind of what we were talking, or you guys were talking about the other day with Dan Rosen, Uncle Dan, about the Lightning. You know how you mentioned it. Vasilevsky is not going to play all those games. You know, Domingue's going to get some. So it's a lot of questions when you have elite goalies down the stretch because of the workload and just the back-to-backs. But we disagree on this, Pete, but I think Hutton would, you know, especially in a weekly format, would be a guy that could potentially win you your semifinal match.
So I know Rob said that he picked up Louis Domingue. We were just talking about Vasilevsky. Vasilevsky's playing on Wednesday against the Caps, confirmed. So Domingue on Thursday, we taking a flyer here? I'd probably rather have one or two starts from Domingue rather than five or six or however many Hutton gets down the stretch.
What's left to play for with the Lightning, though? Like, Domingue, I picked him up a month or two ago thinking that I was going to get some games out of him. I think I got one or two starts from him. One or two. Okay, that's miserable. For fantasy, that's a waste of a pickup. You're not picking a guy up to get one start unless you play the waiver wire every day. You're checking your phone like a madman. I picked up Domingue to get 5-10 quality starts. He got two. So, no, I'm not putting my stock back in Domingue. I'm staying clear of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I think that when Dan was on the show, Uncle Dan was trying to tell us that, oh, Vasilevsky's the guy. Okay, Vasilevsky is a cut above Braden Holtby. He's a cut above Martin Jones. Those are two goalies that actually have to play down the stretch and find rhythm in the playoffs. Vasilevsky's in rhythm. He's been in rhythm since day one of the regular season.
Vasilevsky has like 35 wins in 47 games this year. Tell me, I know the team's on his side, but tell me a better winning percentage in NHL history. Go look it up. I don't know that you'll find one.
There probably isn't one, but I was actually just going to say that if he had not missed those games because of injury, we would definitely be talking about him setting the all-time record for wins in a season, which is 48. He could have almost had 50 if he would have not missed 3 weeks.
Domingue would have broke that record had he started all those games, too.
Oh, he might have. He might have.
Another guy that's been scratching the surface here, Anders Nielsen. The Ottawa Senators have no business playing competitive hockey right now, but they have been. So, Anders Nielsen, you buying him at all? I mean, I personally don't trust that team at all.
The stat line is really encouraging. I mean, that's the only thing that would keep me from not buying in. But look at this. 3-1-0, 948 save percentage, one shutout in the past four. What, considering they've played the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's really impressive.
It is. And he's in a contract year, right? So as a bunch of these guys are. So they're fighting for their future jobs. And hats off to Anders Nielsen here. But, yeah, for Vancouver, who I mentioned earlier with the 7-game homestand, Thatcher Demko has looked good in five of his six NHL career starts dating back to last season when he had the one win. So I know you. Do you like Markstrom, or do you think that Demko could cut into a little bit of his time here?
See, I like Markstrom a lot, but I think you're exactly right. The Canucks have nothing to play for. Why don't you get Demko as many starts as you can, see what you have in him for next year, if you want him to be a starter or a split or whatever. So I think Markstrom's tricky because, like you said, they have a great schedule, home splits, but Demko could play, end up playing, you know, seven of the final 10 or whatever games that they are. So
you know why they're not going to play Markstrom a lot down the stretch? He's a UFA heading into the summer. Mikko Koskinen got $4.5 million. Mikko Koskinen, the numbers didn't really dictate $4.5 million. Markstrom has already played and won a lot of games this season. He's right up there in the top 10 in the NHL. He's going to get a fat contract. If I'm the management in Vancouver, I'm looking at my coach saying, get Demko out there. Markstrom's got enough W's for us this year.
He's got to prove a little bit more than he's proved this year before I, dish out $4.5 million to a Jacob Markstrom. Let's be honest. I mean, that's my thoughts on the matter.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, Rob. I mean, what else does he have to prove? He's done all he can on that team, and he's going to earn whatever he gets, and just see what you have in Thatcher Demko.
Let's shift this to other positions here. Best forward for the championship, none other than Sasha Barkov. Dave, you've been fighting on me all day telling me Riley Smith. What are you talking about?
You know, I agree with you. Sasha Barkov is, right now, he's incredible. The numbers are insane. He's like a plus 11
you
over
that
span,
too. You want to read the stat line to us, please?
The stat line? You read it. I don't even
32 know. Points, 13 goals, 19 assists in the past 17 games. That's 32 points in the past 17 games. 12 power play points over that span.
And the plus 11, which on that team tells you
something,
how good he's playing.
Yeah, Hall of Fame worthy.
We are in that joint league where we started slow, had a bunch of injuries. We've been climbing the standings almost every day since, and we have a four-headed monster at center. So we got Sasha Barkov, mm-hmm. Braden Point. We got, I believe...
We have Bergeron.
Bergeron, who's excellent for faceoff wins. Mm-hmm. And then Joe Thornton, who is another guy. I think he's got like 26 points in his past 30 games. He's like plus 10 over the span. Get any exposure you can to Barkov, first off, and learn from our team here. Pick up Joe Thornton. I think he's still probably only 15, 20% owned.
And Dave, you might want to write this tip down for next year. Sasha Barkov stacked with Keith Yandel in rounds maybe 2, 3, or 4. You cannot miss on that play and power play points. You'll clean up the league.
Well, you made a great point earlier that this guy could have 100 points when it's all said and done. And who would have thought that playing on that team? But we had this argument a little earlier when I said a guy I want moving forward is Riley Smith. And both of you guys looked at me like I had two heads, which I understand. But let me just break this down real quick. In his past 12 games, 6 goals, 10 assists, plus 12, is only 55% owned. And if you need someone that can win you, and he's not going to be very expensive in DFS. And also the last thing on that is, I heard the stat the other day when he had 4 points, him and Marchessault. That was the first time in the history of the Golden Knights that anyone had 4 points in a game, and two guys did it
it's
in the same.
It's a very rich
I thought
history
was very,
to pick from.
Yes,
Dave.
I know
it's
we
a
have a year and a half, but
history.
4 points last year with the way Carlson and those guys were playing, it didn't happen. So he's just an underrated guy that I like. He'll be cheap. He can definitely do some damage for you.
No love for JVR?
Well, I picked up JVR, and I got a nice goal out of that, so I do like him as well. But Riley Smith, I think, will be more consistent, and he's just I like him moving forward.
And Riley Smith's got 21 points in his past 18 games, and I love about him, he brings the power play exposure to Mark Stone and the even strength exposure to Marchessault and Carlson, who could really light things up here down the stretch. And another wing that has really been picking up the pace since coming back, David Perron from the St. Louis Blues. The interesting wrinkle between shows for us is that Vladimir Tarasenko came back out of the blue into the lineup, was back on the top line. Perron on the second line in power play 1 and had an unbelievable game on Tuesday night.
A lot of people on Twitter were talking about how great it was to see Tarasenko back. It was, but you need to turn your attention to the second line. Okay, they have Oscar Sundquist centering, Jaden Schwartz on the left, and David Perron on the right. That is the most underrated line in hockey. Look at the stat line. What, Schwartz had a hat trick on that line the other night. Perron had 4 points. Sundquist had 2 points. That was a DFS flyer. He was $3,400. Cha-ching. So that's the line now in St. Louis moving forward that we're going to look for the offense, because other teams' top defenders are going to be out there against Tarasenko, O'Reilly, Shen. That's just the reality. Get the Sundquist line in your lineups rest of the season. Every single night they're on the slate.
And remember earlier in the season, for much of the season, they were splitting up their two power play units. They're playing like Tyler Bozak on the first unit. It's so great to see finally, a five-man unit. Shen, O'Reilly, Tarasenko, Petrangelo, and David Perron. I love that from Perron.
You know, this team is playing like we thought they were going to after the offseason moves, but let's be real, they did play the Edmonton Oilers, so I'm not going crazy. Although St. Louis does have a very favorable schedule down the stretch, so who's to say, you know, I'm not saying we're going to get hat tricks and 5 points, but you look at that schedule they have, and if this unit clicks, especially Perron, who didn't miss a beat, he's got, what, 5 points in the three games since coming back, so... Yeah, there's those guys on that second line are definitely worthy of attention, especially with that schedule.
Perron, 16 straight games with a point. And another player you want to look at on the blue line, Vince Dunn, played 318 on the power play last night. Ridiculous stuff. Oh, one other good stat here, Dave. I got this one for you. I thought you'd appreciate this. Sebastian Aho, in the five-minute overtime versus the Penguins on Tuesday, he played 4 minutes and 18 seconds of the five-minute OT. That has to be... one of the first times that's happened since Alexei Kovalev was in the league taking four-minute shifts.
That's crazy. And speaking of Sebastian Aho, how about Justin Williams? I was looking back at his numbers since, so they made the Niederreiter trade, and then I think it was the game after Niederreiter's debut, they put that trio together. Justin Williams ever since, 20 points in 25 games. That rings the bell of must-own territory for standard leagues right now for Jay Will.
He's 37 years old.
You know, you look at this, and he's a guy that they brought in for his leadership. They did not bring him in to score goals, score points, but he was a serious guy, and what has he done? He's at the head of these celebrations now. He's loving it, and it's helping. It's translating in his game because he's playing really well. And like I said, that's not why they brought this guy in at all, but credit to him. He had been there before. He's won a cup with them before, and he said, you know what? I think this team can do well, and they have been.
Before we get crazy on the Canes here, 10 games left on their schedule. Six are at home, four are on the road, a combined winning percentage 5.88 for their opponents. Does that deter you at all, maybe to take a forward from another roster, Pete?
I have full confidence in the Hurricanes right now. I mean, look at some of the other teams that have difficult schedules. I mean, the Caps have difficult schedules. They play two with them. The Lightning they face on the second of a back-to-back, that's pretty favorable. Montreal, who's fighting for their playoff lives, they don't have enough scoring punch, and they have an even more difficult schedule. The Islanders have a difficult schedule. They're not playing too well right now. Hurricanes are a playoff team. Mark it down right now, and tap into their top six any way that you can.
I wouldn't deter me from taking a forward or a defenseman. It might deter me, as we said, from taking a goalie. But, mm-hmm. I mean, there's no need to. The schedule may be difficult, but whatever. You know, we're not playing the, you know, Montreal Canadiens from the 1970s on defense here. I mean, you'll be able to score. Players will be able to score. So,
can Carey Price take that team to the playoffs? Can they get that second wild card spot with Carey Price, team on his back?
They just might be able to because of him. I mean, Columbus has another loss. They're going to be on this West Coast swing. Vancouver on the road. Edmonton on the road. Are the Columbus Blue Jackets going to beat the Edmonton Oilers in their building right now based on what I've seen over the past 2-3 weeks? I would say no.
I don't think so either. And that road trip is so underrated. I know that Edmonton and Vancouver are not playoff teams this season. Everybody knows that. But that road trip, there's something about that road trip. When good teams go out there, they falter. We saw it happen to the Boston Bruins too. They had trouble on that road trip. A lot of good teams do. So something out there, Dave, in the mountains, the high altitude, Doll gets them.
Well, it's tough as we're talking about road trips here because a team that I like is Dallas, but it might be hard to roll a guy like Ben Bishop out there when they have four games and they're all the Canadian trip coming up because those are tough games to win. So that's also something to look out for.
But they have the road hero, Anton Khudobin, as the backup goalie. I see no issues with Dallas on the road there. Get him in the net. Besides, Ben Bishop is the epitome of why you do not start Andre Vasilevsky the rest of the season. Injuries to goaltenders happen all too often. Ben Bishop is the guy that makes you all too cautious moving forward.
So Ben Bishop and the Dallas Stars host the Colorado Avalanche on Thursday. The Avalanche, big win like we mentioned, but the Stars are playing so well. Past 10 games, 7-2-1. Their top guys are clicking right now. Radulov's playing out of his mind. Sagan had 4 assists. Jamie Benn looks like the Jamie Benn of old. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking for Dallas, if they get Matt Zuccarello back for the playoffs, maybe line up with the Winnipeg Jets in the first round, I wouldn't mind picking that upset right now.
Yeah, who would have thought, as we said before the season, that you would take Ben Bishop over Connor Hellebuck in a playoff series?
That's
after
crazy,
12
man.
Months ago, we would not have said this, but that's where we are right now. So,
could you imagine making that move in a preseason draft, we would have been looking at you like, you're nuts.
No, that being said, though, I did take Ben Bishop in the 70s, and that's exactly why he went there. The,
right, the
one week
concerns.
He's in the lineup, the next he's not. You got to handcuff him. That being said, though, I do like this Dallas team. I do like their defense. Ben Bishop's 932 save percentage this season is nothing short of ridiculous.
It's number one in the league.
Number one in the league, but I will say if they did match up against Winnipeg, that wouldn't even be a contest. If Winnipeg is healthy, Dustin Byfuglien in the lineup, Josh Morrissey in the lineup, that team would blow that. Dallas would be so exposed it wouldn't even be funny against that Winnipeg team. They would have the boards crumbling in Dallas from all the heavy hitting. Trouba.
With or without Byfuglien.
Trouba. Byfuglien. These guys are 220-plus pound defenders against Dallas's soft forwards. This wouldn't even be a contest. It would be a gentleman's sweep over in five.
Winnipeg, I think, is a lot deeper than Dallas for sure, but from the goaltending standpoint, that debate is not even close. I think Dallas could give him a nice little series. So let's ping-pong some players here for Thursday's slate. One guy I really like, Brendan Gallagher, I think might be one of the most underrated players in all of fantasy hockey. I was looking at his category coverage. He plays the Islanders, who just got routed in their own building by the Boston Bruins.
I do like Gallagher. I do worry about the Habs' consistency with scoring. So I would turn my focus to Jake DeBrusk. Really good matchup against the New Jersey Devils on Thursday. He scored an amazing one of those ones where he steps out of the penalty box, looks around on the ice, all of a sudden finds the puck, breakaway, top shelf, celebrate, home fans booing him, whatever. Great little walk-off goal to make it 5-0 against the Islanders. I like him against the Devils, too, to stay hot.
You know, I like him, too, but does it concern you at all that Pasternak's back? Like, is it going to affect where he is or how he... You know what goes on there?
Jake DeBrusk was in a walking boot before the game against the Islanders. He was out there zipping around, buzzing around like nothing happened. So, no, it doesn't concern me.
And Torrey Krug could return. If he returns, stack him freely with any number of those Boston Bruins forwards on the road at the New Jersey Devils. I think we could all say we could bank on that one. I mean, in terms of the Carolina Hurricanes against the Lightning on a second of a back-to-back, do you have the confidence in them here, or do you think all Lightning?
I do have the confidence in them. I mean, you got Williams, Aho, and Nino. What's wrong with those guys? They've been playing well. Why do we think they wouldn't score some goals against the Lightning?
I'll tell you right now, they're going to get routed by the Caps on Wednesday. Okay, Holtby's shutting it down 4-0. Bank it. They're going to come out on Thursday against Carolina and have a bone to pick against a potential playoff matchup. The Lightning are going to flex their muscles. They're going to come out, big guns firing, tons of shots, and there will not be any home celebration for the Carolina Hurricanes there.
This actually could be a playoff first-round matchup, and maybe it would be the rude awakening. Maybe no celebrations for the Hurricanes on Thursday night against the President's Trophy winners in the Tampa Bay Lightning. From the St. Louis Blues standpoint, I mean, they're facing the Detroit Red Wings on Thursday. You got to think all Blues, but I was looking at Andreas Athanasiou, who's taking on an elevated role here. Even with Larkin back, he's got back-to-back two-goal games. That's no slouch.
I'm all about that low-ownership move, too. So Athanasiou's definitely a guy I would target there. Love the Blues in this game, though, from an outright win standpoint. My money for DFS, going to Flyers at Blackhawks, two teams that are capable of opening floodgates. We're looking at maybe a 5-4 type game in this one. Have to give the edge to the hometown Chicago Blackhawks in this one. Player I'm building the lineup around, Alex DeBrincat.
I think Perlini gets a goal here. I mean, I feel like everybody's tapered off their expectations now just because the Blackhawks had that stinker against the Canucks on Monday. But the guy still has 8 goals in his past 8 games. Go right back to the well and pick Perlini
Stack
here.
City.
I also agree. I think Strome's a guy, too, you got to look for. We can't forget about him either. I mean,
stack the whole line. I'm sure you could afford it in your DFS contest on Thursday.
All right, there's a couple of guys I'll throw out there, ping-pong players. We got, as I mentioned earlier, Riley Smith. Jets will be on the second of a back-to-back, 4 points the other night. I mean, you know, I think Golden Knights are going to win that. They're 9 wins in 10 games. And another guy would be, this might be, you know, a contrarian pick, but I like Grubauer if he starts against the Stars tomorrow. I mean, I know we got Bishop. That would be should be a really good goalie matchup, Bishop-Grubauer, but Philip Grubauer's just been playing great, and I don't see a reason why it will end tomorrow.
I'm going to take a flyer with Malcolm Subban. I'm going to go Subban for goalie if he's starting on Thursday. Haven't heard anything on Marc-Andre Fleury and his injury update today. This is Wednesday, but I do like the kid to stay hot. Subban, back-to-back wins with Fleury day-to-day, and playing in front of or playing behind Mark Stone, Paul Stastny, Jonathan Marchessault, William Karlsson, Wild Bill, alter ego. Come on, you gotta give the kid some love. That's three straight W's.
And we picked him up in that joint league. I know you picked him up this morning in another league.
Everyone picked him up, yeah.
Everybody's looking to Malcolm Subban to save their fantasy season. One guy I was looking at, the power play combinations for the San Jose Sharks, who have been kind of rocky lately, but I think in need of a bounce back game. They will get the job done at Staples Center against the LA Kings on Thursday. And news alert, Gustav Nyquist, power play one with Brent Burns in the spot of Joe Pavelski, who's banged up right now day to day. So maybe you're looking for a replacement. Keep it in-house. Go Gustav Nyquist if he's out there on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I mean, the Sharks, it seemed like they knew if they won the past three games, they'd clinch a playoff spot, and they weren't able to do it. So maybe now they'll be looser. They got a spot locked up. They obviously want to move up. But I think Nyquist is good, and we mentioned Joe Thornton's a guy, too, that I would want.
And I was actually looking at – so Wayne Simmonds on Tuesday night scored his first goal with the Predators in 9 or 10 games. Do you think Wayne Simmonds has any hope of fantasy relevance down the stretch? Because it has been a pretty brutal season and a half for Wayne Simmonds for fantasy purposes.
No, that's a big no for me. And
that's all that needs to be said, I think.
There's no – yeah. The only I would want to say, just to put a bow on this one, retarget Wayne Simmonds and DFS come playoff time. That is a playoff player that is hard to play against. But right now in the regular season, stay away at all costs. Before we sign off, I do have a bone to pick with you, Dave. I feel like the energy was a little low. It might have something to do with the fact that you told me you were out until 2 a.m. at a Caps bar last night with a lady.
Yeah, I figured I went on a date. The girl liked hockey, so I went to... I would call it our bar, maybe, because the three of us, we enjoyed a nice Capitals playoff game there last year, but it was great. She had a good time. We have a date number two, so
what's
I must have done something
date?
Right.
Nice. What's the second date?
We're going to probably go in Central Park Sunday, you know, something New York cliche.
Well, like take bikes around the park or what?
Yeah, I guess. Hopefully she doesn't listen to this, but if she does, it's going to be great. So
I just can't get over that you combined hockey with a first date that just...
I think it's a flex play because he's a big NHL guy. He's got the blue check mark on Twitter. He's got the 40K plus followers. Wanted to flex his muscles a little.
It was a solid DFS play, I'll say, because I was like, you know what? I'm going daily. We'll see what we got, and rolled it out the line combos, and it worked well. So.
Spend up for Dave Satriano in your DFS lineups.
Sunday, I'm a lock.
So best of luck to you in date number two. Of course, best of luck to everyone out there in their playoff matchups and DFS contests as we wrap up the show here.
And let's get a little rate and review going from the listeners. 5 stars on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you're getting your podcast, so that we can afford to have Goalie Master back on the program here.
And also, if any Devils fans out there, Deb Placey did a great interview with Devils GM Ray Shiro. Catch it on the NHL Executive Suite podcast, wherever your podcasts are available.
So for Goalie Master at David Satriano, Rob Reese at NHL Reese, this is Pete Jensen, NHL Jensen, saying so long. Thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, and we'll talk to you again next week.